This is a News Radio 1440 podcast.
Good evening, everybody, and thank you so much for being here with us on Tactics. We appreciate you joining us however you are doing so, whether it's on YouTube Live or Facebook Live or Periscope or Twitch. Regardless of how you're joining us on the program this evening, we are certainly appreciative of the time you take out of your day to pay attention to me, and I know how hard that can be sometimes. So thank you for being here with us on the program right here in the Situation Room, where speech isn't violence, tolerance isn't love, and disagreement isn't hate. As everyone is aware that has been watching my show for more than a week, you will know that on Wednesdays we tend to focus on more spiritual things, things of a more spiritual nature. We go a little bit more meta and talk about worldviews. We'll certainly do some news of the day, but it all relates back to a larger, bigger picture. And that's actually kind of the stories that I enjoy doing more, which is one of the reasons that I love doing Wednesday show so much. So today I was coming across something and a thought struck me about the world that is concerned about self-esteem and self-control. And if you follow me on the Tactics Facebook page, which you absolutely should, it's not only a way to watch the show, but you get all kinds of other content. I put a quote up there earlier today, which you can see, I've got it posted up there. People that value self-control over self-esteem will inevitably create a society that is more concerned with morality than feelings. People that care more about self-esteem than self-control will inevitably create a society where feelings are the only morality. If you understand that basic principle, it actually makes a lot of the things that we're going through make a lot more sense. Because if your primary goal is to do the best that you can to maintain a person's self-esteem, and you believe that that is the most important thing that you can do for another individual, you can understand how there are a lot of people on the left and right, but primarily on the left, I would say, or at least it's more prevalent. I wouldn't say that it's even something that's rare on the right, because the truth is there's an awful lot of people on the right that believe, whether they would actively say it or not, they live in such a way that seems to suggest they care more about a person's self-esteem than their self-control. There was a time where a person that exercised self-control was not only seen as a good person, but that a person tried to convey the importance of self-control to other people. It was a virtue that was far more valuable back in the day than it is now. And so a couple of ways to really help you understand what I'm getting at here. I think that there is no better example of a place that cares far more about people's self-esteem than self-control than the city of San Francisco. Now, for those of you who don't pay an awful lot of attention to local politics in the San Francisco area, and let's be honest, you live in Alabama probably if you're listening to the show, so I don't blame you. But when it comes to San Francisco, there was a story recently where the district attorney actually said there that what's going to happen, he was just recently elected, that they are not going to be persecuting and prosecuting what they call quality of life crimes. And what they mean by that is public urination, public camping, basically all the things that a homeless person, a hobo, might be more apt to do. And because of that, they say, we're not going to prosecute. Now, to the average rational person, this seems like complete madness. Here's the reason that it's not. Now, don't get me wrong, it is nonsense, but I'm just going to explain to you the road which they took to get there. Now, it made no sense to start on the road, but the point is, if you started on that road, it makes sense that they arrive at this conclusion. You see, a lot of people that esteem self-esteem over self-control, that believe that a person's feelings are more important than teaching them to be a just, virtuous, or moral person, a lot of those people do so because they believe that people are basically good. That essentially, the average person, if you were to take them and just put them in a place where there was no society, where there were no people, that person would turn out good and virtuous, and it is only society that corrupts them. Now, just going to the larger worldview here and how flawed that worldview is, it really makes no sense, because if people are basically good and society corrupts them, well, how did society corrupt them? Because society is made up of people. I know that it's not the same thing, and I would never argue that it is, but what I'm saying is, if people are basically good and society is a collection of people, then how did society turn bad? How did society even learn to be bad if people are basically good? That doesn't make any sense. There would have to be some entry point of evil into the world if that were the case. And to somebody who is agnostic or atheistic, it makes no sense for them to uphold this view. Now, there are people that have a secular worldview that do not believe that people are basically good, that believe people are basically bad and they must restrain their impulses, their desires, and exercise self-control to be able to form a functioning society. But there's an abundance of people on the left that believe that a person is essentially just a victim of their own circumstances. That if somebody is doing some kind of bad behavior, it's not that person's fault. It is merely the outgrowth, the result, the effect of the initial cause, which is somehow, somewhere, society failed them. Now, if you understand this basic principle, it helps you understand why the left makes decisions and makes policies and talks the way that they do. It doesn't clear up everything, but it certainly helps you understand. And San Francisco is just a perfect example of this. You see, in that person's mind, that homeless person that is urinating on the sidewalk in front of children passing by, well, that guy's not really doing anything wrong because he's not making that decision. He's a good person. He just happens to be the victim of poverty. If there's a person that is camping on the sidewalk and obstructing the walkway, or even camping in the road and obstructing the roadway, it's not that he's a bad person or someone that is not considerate of other people. It's just he's poor and has no other choice. If somebody is stealing, if they're stealing, they're only doing so because they're poor. Basically, any bad thing, any invirtuous act that could take place that a person does, they are only doing so because there is something that they are not being given by society, and because of that, it's really society's fault that these people are doing what they're doing. There's a great takeaway line from the new Joker movie, and full disclosure, I have not seen the new Joker movie. I've just seen people posting this thing over and over again, and I don't remember the exact quote, but it's something to the effect of, what do you get when you take a person that is mentally deranged and put him in a society that doesn't care about him? You get exactly what you deserve. You see, the emphasis that's being put there is, it's not really Joker's fault he's making these bad decisions. It's not really Joker's fault that he's a murderous psychopath. See, it's not really Joker, it's society's fault, because even if he were mentally deranged and mentally ill, he would be getting the help that he needed if society just stepped up and did the right thing. Now, personally, I'm all in favor of the government serving that purpose. I think that there's a limit to what they can do, obviously, and I think that that should primarily come from the private sector, being a very libertarian person myself. But a perfect example of why society believes this has actually happened in San Francisco. There was a guy who, and this is incredibly gross, and I get it, it gives me the willies too to even talk about it. There was a woman who was just innocent, walking down the street, minding her own business. I think she was actually heading to work. And in this story, a random homeless person runs up and dumps a literal bucket of diarrhea on her. This is a guy that had been apparently saving up his excrement for a long time and then dumped it over the person. And this woman was so traumatized, she had PTSD, had to run to the hospital to make sure that she did not catch any infectious diseases. I mean, I would go into some of the details. If you want the details, you can go look up the story yourself, but it'll turn your stomach. And it is so incredibly disgusting. And you look at that and you're like, well, how could that happen? Now, granted, there's crazy people everywhere. But when you've cultivated a society that believes that self-esteem and keeping from hurting somebody's feelings is more important than teaching them self-control and morality, this is the result that you get. Now, you may say, well, this is just one random crazy person. How could you make that assertion? Well, here's the thing. This particular guy, he was already arrested and admitted to a mental institution and was just about immediately released. You have groups like the ACLU who, you know, granted there were some issues with the way that we handled mental health, but there were massive overhauls to make mental health facilities basically a thing of the past, to where they barely even exist in America anymore, and these people are roaming the streets. And that's how you get something like this. They were so concerned about hurting the man's feelings, they did not consider what was actually best for society or best for him. They were less concerned with teaching this man self-control than they were ensuring that they didn't hurt his feelings. And that's really where we come into these kinds of problems. When you have an attorney general or a DA in the state of California that's saying we're just not going to prosecute these things, they really do believe that the reason for that is this person is just a poor person that's a victim of his circumstances, and if he didn't do this, if he did not have the circumstances surrounding him, he would be a good and moral person. Here's the irony in all of that, though. And anytime somebody poses a situation or a quandary like this and tries to suggest that people are basically good and it is society that ruins them, here's how to counter that. Because typically that is a person that is on the left. If you are saying that poverty is the cause of people making bad decisions and doing evil things, first of all, why is it that the vast majority of poor people do not engage in these activities? Now, granted, crime is certainly at a higher rate when you're impoverished. You're more likely to commit crimes if you are from a low-income side of the spectrum. If you're from that sort of economic community, you are more likely to commit crimes. But that higher rate is still, you know, not even, it's barely double digits. And so the real question is, if that's the case, if poverty is the cause, then why is the vast majority of poor people not committing these crimes? And why does a thing like white-collar crime even exist? Because if the logic is the only reason that people engage in things and the reason that they do bad things is because they're impoverished and they need something, well, then wouldn't rich people be the most virtuous people on earth? And yet it's the same left that holds this worldview that says that rich people are greedy and that they're the source of most of society's problems. That doesn't make any sense. If you're saying that poverty is what causes people to do bad things, well then, the people that are most affluent shouldn't be doing any bad things. In fact, they would be the most virtuous people, and the idea that taking money from them would be more just or more virtuous, well, wouldn't that get rid of all the virtuous people? It doesn't make any sense. Because the foundation of their ideology is based on something that isn't real. We could go through story after story after story about this. The gun debate is a perfect example of this. They believe that the access to guns and society not handling gun control the way that it should is what causes things like mass shootings or gun crime. Now, they ignore the fact that other countries that have done exactly what they're proposing continue to have violent crime and gun crime. And that if you take guns from people, they'll use knives or they'll use baseball bats or they'll use their own bare fist to commit heinous crimes. But they suggest that it's not the person's fault, it's really society's fault, or it's the gun's fault, it's not the person's fault. They do the same thing when it comes to things like public schools. The bureaucracy in our public school system now has reached the height of ridiculousness, to where basically the kids are the ones running the schools, not the teachers. The teachers are afraid to discipline. The teachers are afraid to even speak up and raise their voice at a child, no matter how young they may be, to try to correct them. And the truth is, most of those teachers don't even do that anymore, because a lot of them subscribe to this same worldview, that self-esteem is more important than self-control. So when you see a child doing a bad thing, it is better to spare their feelings and not tell them to stop than it is to actually say something to them and say, hey, what you're doing is not acceptable. It is not good behavior. You need to stop that and do something else, because that would hurt their self-esteem. We don't teach self-control anymore. And by the way, you may remember I actually did a special I think we talked about 30 or 40 minutes specifically on this with my dad, who's a retired teacher of 27 years, that was talking about exactly this. That people are so frightened that they might hurt somebody's feelings by correcting them. There was a whole curriculum that was drummed up by people in the left, mostly, I believe it was in Washington and Oregon, that their new curriculum said that you can't even tell a child that their answer is wrong, and that they were trying to teach them how to grade papers, in other words, grade a essay or something like that, without being critical. Well, if you're not going to criticize, if you're not going to analyze, if you're not going to tell someone when they're wrong, it is impossible to correct bad behavior. You cannot assess something and teach them how to improve if you refuse to tell them where they messed up or the areas in which they need improvement. I'm not saying that there's not a right and wrong way to do that. Obviously, you want to do it in a constructive way. But there's a difference in saying, well, we need to be constructive with our criticism and do so in the spirit of love than it is to say, no, we just need to not criticize at all. We need to be able to not, we need to be able to look at it and observe it without assessing it. Well, that's not going to help anybody. You can't teach a person to root out bad habits, bad behaviors, or incorrect ideas unless you tell them when they're incorrect. And that's really the problem that we're running into. Another great example. There was a singer just the other day who she said that she's going to back out of the Dallas Cowboys halftime show because and this was an event that she was doing for charity because she was working with and raising money for the Salvation Army. And then someone told her, hey, the Salvation Army, that's a Christian organization, and they have an anti-gay stance. I could say LGBTQAIRPW. Q and a silent five. I don't know. The acronym's gotten stupid. Quilt bag is much better. But anyway, and that's really where she took it from. Well, again, this is a outcropping of the idea that rather than tell somebody, hey, this lifestyle is self-destructive, it's something that's not a good idea, it's an abnormality, it's better to just spare their feelings and not tell them that they're wrong. And so because of that, she said, well, I'm going to back out unless the Salvation Army makes a donation to a gay activist organization or something like that. Which, by the way, taking a break from the self-esteem debate here for a second, I do find it utterly hilarious that she's saying, well, I don't want to use my talents or my service to help an organization with whom I disagree when one of the most hot-button issues in the gay debate in the past couple of years has been, should Christians have to offer their services or their talents to somebody whether they want to or not when it comes to things like baking a wedding cake for a gay couple or taking pictures at a gay wedding, something like that. I find it hilarious that when it's on her side, she's like, oh no, I should be able to refuse my services if they're doing something I disagree with. But the Christian isn't allowed to do that, you see. And that's really the stark contrast there. But all of those things that I just listed, and I could list several more. I mean, it goes back to, well, if we just fixed poverty, if we just had the war on poverty, like LBJ said back in the day, 50 years ago, if we could just solve that, then we'll solve all the crimes. AOC just recently said that the only way that we can combat crime and terrorism is to basically give all of our money away through the Green New Deal. And that redistribution of wealth is going to solve all those problems. Well, that's never worked in the history of mankind. It's been tried multiple times, and it never works. But the point is, all of that makes sense if you start from the premise of self-esteem is more important than self-control. That people are basically good, and society is the thing that makes people evil. And so we have to, if we could just orchestrate society from on high, from a place of power the right way, then people wouldn't do bad things or make bad decisions anymore. It's simply not true. If you have a biblical worldview and understand that man has an inherent sinful nature, not talking about original sin, that's a whole different doctrine, but every branch of Christianity that I'm aware of, whether you're talking about Catholic, Protestant, non-denominational like myself, regardless of what branch you're talking about, they all basically believe that man is apt to sin. And because man is apt to sin, and because we are all fallen creatures, you believe that people have to be taught to not behave in that way. that the only way to build a moral, just, and correct society is to teach people self-control. And this makes perfect sense. Because when you're looking at children being raised up, there are obviously children that are more likely to act out than others. But it has a lot more to do with their rendering than it does their circumstances. Ben Carson is a great example of this. I mean, he grew up in some of the worst circumstances you can imagine, and he's one of the best, most moderated, most self-controlled men you will ever run into. Why? And he'll tell you this. Because his mother taught him to be. You see, if we're going to create a society that is just and right and is concerned with morality, the only way that we can do that is to be more concerned with teaching people self-control than self-esteem. I'm not saying we don't care at all about self-esteem. I'm not saying we don't care about hurting somebody's feelings. I think that a moral society does do that, that it is something that they are concerned with. But whenever it comes to a choice between hurting somebody's feelings and correcting bad behavior and teaching them how to restrain their impulses, teaching them how to restrain their vices, especially when it involves another person, well, then ultimately, we always take the side of teaching that person self-control and making sure that there are repercussions for somebody who harms another person through a lack of self-control. If you want to create a good, godly society, that's where you have to start. It's not a silver bullet. It's not a fix-all solution, but that has to be the starting point. Stay the course, friends.
This is a News Radio 1440 podcast.